Welcome to week 8 of the Lose Weight Fast Academy, and this is the final week of the program. So keep working hard for this final week and you can still lose even more weight. But I don't want this to be the final week of eating healthy. I want this to be the last diet ever go on, which means maintaining the results for the rest of your life. Now it's very, very important to maintain your results for at least 6 months, so really, really concentrate on it. The reason being, you've got like a baseline, like a set weight that your body's used to. Now, in order for the results of this program to become your new base weight, your new set weight, you have to maintain your results for at least 6 months. So once you do that, then you won't put on weight quickly. But within 6 months, if you go on big binges or you go back to your old habits, you will put the weight on very, very fast. So it's very important to maintain these results. So over the whole of this 8 weeks, I've been teaching you about nutrition, exercise and the life coaching task to prepare you mentally to maintain them results, so you should be in the best position you've ever been in at come the end of the diet. So I really want this to be the last diet that you ever go on. So after the 8 weeks is up, make sure you come back on the website, look into the maintenance section. There'll be lots of help there, lots of tips to help you maintain the results. Every single person is unique, so people might need different plans in order to maintain the results. So there's different plans in there. Choose the one that's going to fit best in with your life and make sure you carry on eating healthy, you maintain the results. After all, you've put in all the hard work to get amazing results over the 8 weeks. The last thing we want to do is go back to your habits and put the weight back on. So make sure, keep working hard this week. One more week to go, so keep working hard. You can still lose even more weight, a tremendous amount of weight this week, so don't give up just yet. Keep on going this final week, and then after that, keep maintaining those results, because I really do want this to be the last diet that you ever go on, and it'd be the start of a new, happy and healthy life for yourself. So this week, what we're going to be looking at is exercise for fat loss. So we've talked a lot about nutrition. Now we want to look at the best forms of exercise for fat loss. So before we look at the forms of exercise, always remember the principle of exercise is progressive overload. Now if you keep doing what you've always done, you will keep getting the same results you've always got. So you have to keep improving all the time. So you've got to challenge yourself to lift more, move faster, last longer, or do more total work than before. If you do this, you guarantee results no matter what kind of exercise you choose to do. However, there are exercise methods which are more effective than others, and they probably aren't what the methods that you think. So most people think certain methods are more effective than others, but to be honest, the exercise that most people use for fat loss is not the best method. So the method that you probably think in when I think of exercise for fat loss is probably cardio. So cardio is the most commonly used exercise for fat loss. So this might be running, cycling, spinning classes, rowing, stepper, cross trainer, swimming, aerobics, dancing, even like body combat. These are all methods of cardio. And if anyone says, oh, I'm going off to the gym to help lose weight, you'll probably find them doing one of these methods, but they're not the best method in order to help you lose body fat. Now, cardio really isn't the best for fat loss. It can be good for weight loss. So if you want to lose weight and become a smaller fat person, so you're still fat and you still got fat in your body but just a smaller person, cardio can be good for that. But when it comes to fat loss, improving your body composition, being more toned, looking leaner, looking healthier, then cardio really isn't the best way to do it. Now, it's not all bad cardio, which I'll speak about in a minute. It does have its benefits and you should use it for a healthy life, but it shouldn't be the main focus of exercise you use in order to lose weight and order to lose body fat. Reason being, there's minimal calories burned. Yes, you do burn calories, but to be honest, it's not that many for how much effort you have to put in. Also, as soon as you finish cardio, there's no metabolic benefit, so it means there's no carryover effect after the exercise is finished. There's minimal fat loss as well. Now, whilst you're doing cardio, steady state cardio, you don't actually burn that much fat. You burn calories, yes, more calories than most other kinds of exercise, but you don't lose much fat while you're doing it. Also, cardio releases cortisol, which we know breaks down muscle. If you've got a slower less muscle, you'll have a slower metabolism. Yes, cortisol helps you to burn fat, which is very important, but because you're doing this exercise for a long period, it's going to break down your muscle as well. Also, cortisol can store fat in your stomach area as well, so we don't want that. Now, years ago when I was younger, I didn't know this. It used to frustrate me. I used to be doing lots of weight training, seeing good results, and I think, right, I want to see even better results, so I'd start doing even more cardio. Guess what? I started losing muscle, and my belly started getting bigger, and I used to get frustrated, so I would just cut it out, go back to weight training. As soon as I started seeing good results, nearly at the results I wanted, I would throw in cardio as well, just to help improve it, and it happened time and time again. I didn't know why, but now I know how the body works. If I want to see even better results, I would keep the cardio to a minimum when you're doing it. Also, when you're doing cardio as well, there's way too much time involved. You can spend hours upon hours of doing cardio, and you can spend your time much better doing other fat loss methods. Also, cardio is pretty boring. Some people find it quite relaxing when they're doing it. They go out, they can just clear the mind. But a lot of people do find cardio pretty boring. Now, don't get me wrong, cardio can work for some people, but most it doesn't work for. There are people out there, when they do cardio, they burn a higher percentage of fat and they don't lose much muscle, but there's not many of those people. Most people will break down muscle, it'll slow the metabolism down. It can work for some people, like even some crazy diets out there can work for some people, but for most people it's not the best form of exercise to go through. If you do use cardio, people tend to end up being a smaller version of themselves rather than getting leaner. So if you want to be a smaller fat person, go ahead and do cardio. If you want to be leaner, have less body fat, and generally look better, then you want to stay away from cardio. Yes, throw it in for health, but not for weight loss. So other negative effects of cardio include it damages your cells, and it's been shown to lead to premature aging as well. If you look at a marathon runner against a sprinter, a marathon runner does lots of cardio, a sprinter does high intensity exercise, short sprints. The marathon runners look far older than what the sprinters do. It's because of all this stress you're putting on your body, damages the cells and ages you. Also, cardio messes with your hormones. It increases your cortisol and decreases testosterone as well. So I want to stay away from that. Yes, cortisol is needed, and short and small amounts help you burn fat, but too much of it has bad effects on your body. It can also cardio can severely decrease your muscle tone as well. So if you do lots of cardio, then you're going to lose muscle tone. It's going to slow down your metabolism. Also, if you do lots of cardio, it's going to increase your chance of illness, as it puts a massive strain on your immune system. If you're going for like an hour and a half running, doing cardio, think of all this cortisol that's being released. It's going to put a massive stress on your immune system, and you've got a lot more chance of becoming ill. Also, it leads to overuse injuries as well. If you're just doing the same repetitive movement for an hour or an hour and a half, it's going to lead to overuse in certain joints and certain muscles, which is going to lead to injury as well. Now, don't get me wrong, cardio isn't all bad. It does have some positive effects. It does oxygenate the body, gets more oxygen moving around your body to the muscles, so it also improves the cardiovascular system, improves your heart, so it is very good for that, for your health. It releases endorphins, so you feel better. It helps to reduce stress, depression, and improves your self-esteem. Now, it creates stress on your body because it releases cortisol, but it helps you reduce stress. If you've got stresses in your life, it helps take your mind off them. It releases endorphins to help you feel better, but it is a stress on your body at the same time. Now, it also does help you burn calories by doing cardio as well, so it does burn calories. So it isn't all bad, but it shouldn't be something you do day in, day out in order to help you lose weight. So it does have its place for a healthy body, but it's not the best way to burn fat. So don't take my word for it. We're going to have a look at some cardio training studies as well, because I could be saying anything. So I'm going to pull out some scientific studies just to prove that it's not the best way, because after all, you might just think I'm lying, but I'm not. Here are some studies to prove that cardio isn't the best way to lose weight. So the first one was a 1-year aerobic exercise intervention among postmenopausal women. Now, 320 women were put through a 1-year controlled diet, and they were split into two groups. The first group did 45 minutes of moderate to vigorous aerobic exercise 5 times a week, and on average throughout this test, they averaged 3.6 sessions over the year. The second group did no exercise whatsoever. Now, both groups were told to keep their diets the same. The results, group 1, the aerobic exercise group, lost 3.9 pounds, more fat than the group 2 over the year. So for doing all this exercising 3.6 sessions a week over the course of the year, they only lost 3.9 pounds more. So that's a lot and lot of effort for only losing 4 pounds more than not doing exercise at all. So it's a crazy amount of exercise to get very little benefits for it. Now, another study found that 300 hours of cardio per year helped men lose only 6 pounds. So that works out at 50 hours of cardio per pound of weight loss. So if you want to look at that study, you can go look at it there, but that's a crazy amount. So 50 hours of cardio per pound of weight loss. So you can imagine if you're training, doing an hour of cardio 5 days a week, it'll take you 10 weeks just to lose 1 pound from cardio. Now, another study as well found that some people start eating more when they start a cardio program as well. Now, these people end up gaining weight on aerobic. So, because you're burning off a lot of glycogen, you tend to want to restore that straight after. So, by doing cardio, it tends to make you want to eat more carbs as well. So, you can gain weight doing cardio. So, not only does it not help you burn that much weight, it can actually lead to overeating and gaining weight. So, that's why we want to try and stay away from cardio for weight loss. So if cardio isn't that good for weight loss, what kind of exercise is effective for fat loss? It's simple. Weight training and high intensity interval training. These are the best two methods to help you lose weight. And this is for women as well. Weight training isn't going to turn you into a man, women. So these two are the methods you should focus on. You can add in cardio around this, but for weight loss, you want to focus more on weight training and high intensity interval training. And these are the methods that I've given you in this program to do on your own. So you should have been following this program. You should have been doing weight training and high intensity interval training already. But now you're going to know why you're doing it and why these were the exercise methods we chose for this program. So what is weight training? Well, the definition is, weight training uses the weight force of gravity or elastic or hydraulic forces to oppose the force generated by muscle through concentric and eccentric contraction. So in simpler forms, it's working against the resistance, or working your muscles against the resistance. Weightlifting equipment includes dumbbells, barbells, resistance machines, resistance bands, kettlebells, power bags, and even your own body weight. So these are the typical weightlifting equipment that you might find in gyms. Weight training is proven to increase your strength, your power, your strength endurance, your flexibility, anaerobic endurance, and your muscle and size. So it has some very, very good benefits to weight training. Other benefits of weight training includes it increases your bone density, increases your muscle size and tone. So the bigger your muscles, the faster your metabolism. You're not going to get massive if it was that easy. All these men who do weight training out there will be huge. It's not that easy to build muscle. It is difficult. So women, you don't produce the hormones to build massive amounts of muscle, so you're not going to turn into a man. Remember when I've been explaining it before, you're more likely as a woman to get male features by eating too much carbs than you are by weight training. Carbs greatly messes with your hormones. Weight training is actually good for you and it's going to help you look younger. Weight training increases your tendon and ligament strength. It improves your joint function. It improves your posture. It reduces your potential for injury. It increases your metabolism by increasing your muscle mass. It decreases resting blood pressure. It improves glucose metabolism. It decreases your risk of diabetes. And it helps reduce body fat and limits fat gain as well. It also increases your good cholesterol, which is a HDL cholesterol. It can reverse a natural decline in metabolism, which occurs around 30. So when you get to 30, your muscle tends to atrophy and gets a bit smaller. Whereas if you're doing weight training, it's going to help maintain your muscle so you have a faster metabolism. also proven to slow down the aging process as well. Slows down the loss of strength, aerobic capacity, bone density, muscle size, and helps prevent and limit fat gain as well. And if you see people who do regular weight training, put them next to someone who does regular cardio, they look younger as well. So weight training is going to help you look younger and it's going to help you feel younger. Weight training increases your sense of well-being, improves your self-image, improves your self-esteem, helps decrease stress and tension, and improves your mental alertness as well. So it really does have lots of benefits to weight training. So how does weight training help with fat loss as well? Well, first reason is it increases your metabolism after the workout. So the heavier the weight you use and the more muscle you use, the longer it lasts. So after you work out, because you've done weight training, because you've worked so hard, your body has to recover afterwards. The harder you work by lifting heavier weights and the more muscle you use, the more muscles that have to recover. So it speeds up your metabolism after the workout in order to try and help your body recover. Also, by building muscle, the more muscle you have, the faster your metabolism is and the more fat you burn at rest as well. So that's another way to help you to lose weight through weight training. Also, weight training helps store glucose in the muscles rather than your fat cells. So if you do eat carbs and you're not doing any exercise, it's going to push it into your fat cells to be stored. Now, if you do weight training, it pushes it into your muscles to make your muscles bigger. And also, it can be burned off more by pushing your muscles, and it helps prevent diabetes as well. It also helps muscle being broken down for energy in low-calorie diets. So if you're following a low-calorie diet, then it can start to help your muscle atrophy if it's not getting the amount of vitamins, minerals, and nutrients it needs. However, if you're doing weight training, it's going to prevent this happening as well. Also, weight training releases human growth hormone and testosterone, which builds muscle and burn fat. Don't worry, women. Yes, it's going to release a bit of testosterone, but that's going to more help with your skin, help you look younger. It's not going to turn you into a man. It's physically impossible to get in too much testosterone from weight training. The only way you're going to turn into a man for the woman is if you actually go out there and take testosterone, or if you're eating way too much carbs. Doing weight training is very, very good for men and women. Weight training also reshapes your body as well. So rather than just becoming a smaller fat person, if you weight train, it's going to change the shape of your body, so you look leaner, you look better as well. And also, more muscle equals a faster metabolism, which equals faster fat loss as well. So it's very important, weight training as part of your weight loss program. So now you know the benefits of weight training, it's very important to weight train effectively. There's no point going out there just doing weights and it not working for you. So I want to teach you how to weight train effectively. So now, the same rules apply for both men and women. Now, however, women might want to work on different muscles to men. For example, men want a bigger chest, so they might want to work more on the chest and the shoulders. Women will want to focus more on the back and the legs. Even though they might want to work on different muscles, the same rules apply for both men and women. Now, in order to see good results, you need to lift a weight to failure, a perfect technique, for between 5 and 12 repetitions. A lot of women out there might use very light weights and they might do like 20, 30, 40 reps. This is pretty pointless. It does have its place in certain methods of using it. But in general, it is pretty pointless doing more than 12 repetitions. You can use it for metabolic resistance training, do more reps. There's certain times you might want to do more reps. But in general, if you do more than 12 reps, it's pretty pointless. So these little 2 kilogram dumbbells, these are lifting women, it's just wasting your time. You might as well not be doing it, to be honest. So if you're lifting between 5 and 8 reps, this is mainly increasing your strength. It does have other knockover effect, but this is mainly the strength building rep ratio. If you do 8 to 12 reps, this is for muscle hypertrophy. So this one's for toning your muscles, making your muscles a bit bigger for that one, 8 to 12 reps. If you do less than 5 reps, this is power. So when power is more for performance athletes, so you don't really want to be doing less than 5 reps. Especially when it comes to fat loss and changing your body shape and helping you lose weight. So the tempo is also important as well when weight training. Now, if you're doing fast pace like most people do in the gym, they're just lifting it fast, this is tend to be more for power. However, slower tempo is more for muscle building. So rather than just repping your weights out like you see everyone doing in the gym, try and slow it down. Now, The best muscle building tempo has been found to be 2 seconds concentric and 4 seconds eccentric. So the concentric is the effort, so this might be the pushing the chest press or the curling the bicep curl. The eccentric is the lowering in the chest press and the straightening your arm in the curl. Reason being is that the eccentric portion of the exercise is where the muscle tears, and once it tears it can grow back bigger and stronger. So that's why you need to focus more on the eccentric, which is the lowering or the resting phase of the exercise. That's why it needs to be slower. Weight training workouts as well should last between 30 minutes and an hour and 30 minutes, no longer than that. Ideally, it should be between about 45 minutes to an hour. So this is what it should be between your weight training workouts. Now, when you're weight training for weight loss and fat loss, 80% of your weight training workout should be compound lifts. Compound lifts are the exercises which work multiple muscles in the two joints or more being used at the same time. So example of compound lifts are squats, deadlifts, lunges, bench press, standing military press, pull-ups, chin-ups, snatches, cleaning presses, cleaning jerks, rows and tricep dips as well. So the majority of your workout should be from these exercises. So the more muscle you work in an exercise, the more it's going to speed up your metabolism, the more it's going to help you lose weight. Now, yes, you can do bicep curls and side raises and stuff, but don't do too many. You want to focus on these compound lifts in order to get the biggest benefit of the workout. Now, if you want to focus on building muscle and being more of a bodybuilder, then yes, you might want to focus more on these single joint exercises. More, but in order to lose weight and to lose body fat, you want to keep to these compound exercises, work more muscles. It's going to speed up your metabolism and help you lose weight faster. Now, when you weight train, you want to work from the largest muscle to the smallest muscle. So if you go in there, work your bicep first and then done a back exercise, you're not going to be as strong because you've tired out that small muscle. So you want to work from the largest muscle first and then work down towards the smallest. So for example, if you're doing a full body workout, you'll want to start off with your legs, then either do your chest or your back, then your shoulders, and then you'll finish off on your arms last because they're the smallest muscle. So same with if you're doing chest exercises again. So if you're working your chest, most of the time you'll want to do the biggest exercise first, so you want to do a bench press, and then if you're coming into like a single joint exercise, then you'll want to go into the chest fly. So you always want to use the more bigger compound lifts first and then go into the smaller ones. Now, there is a place for using the smallest muscles first or doing isolation exercises first, but in general you want to do the bigger compound lifts first. Also, you've got to make sure you balance out opposing muscles. For example, balance your chest and back, quadriceps and hamstrings, biceps and tricep. Otherwise, you're going to get muscle imbalances and it's going to lead to pulling your joints out of alignment and going to lead to injury. So men in particular are really bad for this, working loads on the chest and forgetting about the back. They think if they've got a bigger chest, they're going to look better. But in fact, if you have a bigger back, it's going to make your chest look bigger. So make sure you're balancing these muscles out. I was terrible about for it when I was younger. I always used to train my chest and my biceps and completely forget about my back and never do it. I wish I could go back in time now and train my back more, because it caused a few injuries and stuff along the way. But now I know how the body works better. So make sure you're balancing your muscles out in order to prevent injury as well. Now, make sure you have sufficient rest between your workouts, as you build muscle when you're resting, not when you're exercising. The workouts are designed to tear your muscles, and then when they rest, they'll grow back bigger and stronger. So that's what we're after. So make sure, in general, you want to be having a day's rest between workouts. Now, you can work out, train but one body part one day, one the next. But in general, make sure you're resting between your workouts. Never train if you're doing full body workouts. Try not to do it 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row. There is a place for doing that. But in general, for most people, you want to have a day's rest between your weight training workouts, or split it into body parts as well. But for weight training and for fat loss, I would always try and do more full body workouts, because if you work your full body, it's going to speed up your metabolism more because you've worked every muscle in your body. Whereas these, where you break it down into body parts, that's more for the muscle building side. But for fat loss, you want to try and stick to more full body workouts. So some weightlifting methods here. You've got straight sets, which is the typical method people use. This could be 3 sets of 8 to 12 reps of one exercise. Once you've done that, you move on to the next exercise. Or you might do 5 times 8 to 12 reps as well. So you do 5 sets of an exercise, 8 to 12 reps, and then move on to the next exercise. 5 times 5 reps, that's a good strength building program as well. So you might want to use that. Now, pyramid training. This is a really good method. This is where you increase the weight each set, which means you do less reps. So for example, your first set, you may bench press, say for example 10 kilos, and you do 12 reps. Your next set, you may increase it to 12 kilos, and then you only manage the 10 reps. And the next one, you do 8 reps, and you increase the weight again. So each time, each set, you increase the weight, but the reps will go down in a pyramid fashion. Now you can do a reverse pyramid where you start off with the heavy weight doing like 6 reps, and then the next set you'll do a little bit lighter and manage 8, next set do a little bit lighter weight and manage 10, and so on. So you can do a pyramid either way, but my preferred method is doing the pyramid where you're increasing the weight each set as you go along and you do less reps out of there. Another good method is drop sets. This is one way you can do more than 12 reps. So drop set is where you decrease the weight and do another set without resting. So for example, you do your bench press set, you'll drop the weight, go straight back onto it, do as many as you can, drop the weight again, no rest, go straight back onto it. And you want to do anywhere between 3 to 5 drops in weight without resting. Now the best way to do a drop set is you must do anywhere between 5 to 8 reps to failure on your first part of the drop set. So you do 5 to 8 reps, drop the weight, and then work to failure on your next set, drop the weight and work to failure. Now if you do more than 8 reps, then you're going to be going on forever and ever with this set because the weight isn't heavy enough. So you want to do 5 to 8 reps to failure for your first part of the drop set, and then when you go into drops after that, you just work to failure. So overall you might do more than 12 reps, but the important first part of it, that's when you're doing less than 12 reps. Reason being, you're doing more sets is to get their muscles to complete failure. Supersets now. This is where 2 exercises are done back to back with no rest in between them. So for example, you might want to do an upper body superset where you do a squat followed by a chest press and then you get your rest. Or you might want to do a deadlift with a row and then get your rest. Or another way of doing it is doing a pause of muscle. So you might want to do a chest exercise followed by a back exercise, or a bicep curl followed by a tricep exercise. So you can do them back to back. You can also do supersets where you do it for the same body part. This is a bit more advanced. So for example, you might do a chest press followed by a chest fly, or you might do a row followed by pull-ups, or you might do squats followed by Bulgarian lunges. So there's different ways to do the supersets on there as well. Now we've also got tri-sets, which is 3 exercises done back to back with no rest. So again, you might do 3 full body exercises. So you might do a squat, a chest press, and then a shoulder press. So you might do a deadlift, a pull-up, and then you might do some rows. So 3 exercises. Again, you could do 3 exercises for the same body part as well. So you could do bench press, chest flies, and then press up. So you could do squats, Bulgarian lunges, and then some jumping squats. So there's many different ways you can do it in there, but this is just giving you some ideas of basic methods you can use. Obviously if you want to know more about them, you can look into them a bit more, but it's just helping you know a little bit about about weight training, so for the future when you're creating your own weightlifting workouts. So now you know a bit more about weightlifting, let's have a look into high intensity interval training now. So what is high intensity interval training? It's basically bouts of high intensity anaerobic exercise followed by low intensity exercise. So for example, sprint, rest, sprint, rest, sprint, rest. And it's done for anywhere between 15 and 45 minutes. You can't do less than this, but to be honest, you want to be doing anywhere 15 to 45 minutes. Ideally, I would say about 20 minutes. If you're doing longer than 45 minutes, you're not working hard enough. The idea is to work as hard as you possibly can during the sprint period, then rest, then work as hard as you possibly can. If you're going longer than 45 minutes, then you're not working hard enough during the work periods. Typical work to rest ratios for high intensity interval training is 1 to 3. For example, this might mean a minute working as hard as you can, 3 minutes rest, minute work as hard as you can, 3 minute rest. 1 to 2, this could be, for example, 30 seconds work, a minute rest, 30 seconds work, a minute rest. 1 to 1 ratio, a minute work, minute rest, minute work, minute rest. Or a 2 to 1 ratio, which could be a minute work, 30 seconds rest, minute work, 30 seconds rest. So these are different work to rest ratios that you might want to use during that. Fitter you get, the less rest you want to be, give yourself as well. Now, high intensity interval training can be done using any type of cardio, such as the treadmill, exercise bike, rower, or you could go outside and sprint and then walk and then sprint and then walk. So different ways to do this high intensity interval training. So yes, I'm seeing cardio isn't that good for fat loss, but that's the steady state cardio where you're just going for an hour at the same speed and at the same intensity. High intensity interval training is where you work as hard as you possibly can, rest, work hard as possibly can and rest. Now it's very important to actually rest during the rest period. Now you might get some people who work as hard as you can and then go into a jog and then work as hard as you can, you jog. That doesn't work as effective. It should be sprint and then rest. So you should just be walking or resting in between for your rest periods. By having an actual rest period, it helps you burn fat even faster. Now when you're doing high intensity interval training, it has to be at high intensities, so which means you must get your heart rate during the work period above 85% of your maximum heart rate. Now, to help you work out your maximum heart rate, it's 220 minus your age. Now, that's the maximum heart rate, and then 85% of that is what you want to get it above. You may see a lot of people in the gym that might be using a high intensity interval protocol where the minute work, minute rest, but they're not working very hard. Now, that's pretty pointless. You have to work hard during the intervals. The harder you work, the better. It's not about how long you do when it comes to fat loss through high intensity interval training, it's about how hard you work. So some of the benefits of high intensity interval training, well, it improves your aerobic and anaerobic systems as well. It increases your VO2 max. It improves glucose metabolism. It lowers insulin resistance, so it helps reduce your chance of getting diabetes. It increases EPOC, which is exercise post oxygen consumption. So after the exercise, you have to take in more oxygen to help your body to recover. It also increases your resting metabolic rate for 24 hours after the exercise. This is partly due to EPOC, because you've worked so hard that your body now needs more oxygen in order to recover. So you've got a faster metabolic rate after the workout. It's anabolic, so on a low calorie diet, it prevents muscle loss. And it can actually help you gain muscle as well. If you look at these sprinters, they've all got lots of muscle, and it's because they're doing these high intensity workouts. It increases HDL cholesterol, which is your good cholesterol. It releases catecholamines, human growth hormone, and cortisol, which them three combined together help you burn fat very, very fast. Remember, catecholamines are like your fat burning gas pedal, so the more of that, the faster you're going to lose weight. Human growth hormone helps you burn fat, and cortisol helps you break down your fat stores as well. Because it's only for a short duration, the cortisol won't break down your muscle, it'll just break down your fat stores. It's when you go into longer intensity exercise where cortisol becomes a problem for breaking down muscle. High intensity interval training has also been shown to burn 9 times more fat and 25% less time than cardio. It's been shown to burn belly fat far more effectively than normal cardio as well. It burns calories during the workout and also for up to 24 hours after the exercise for increased EPOC as well. So you get benefit during the workout, but for hours and hours after, unlike regular cardio. Regular cardio, burn calories during it, as soon as you finish it stops. High intensity interval training, it carries on for hours afterwards. Also increases human growth hormone, and this targets belly fat in particular. Human growth hormone helps you burn fat from your stomach, and also improves insulin resistance, which prevents belly fat storage and helps reduce the chance of getting diabetes as well, and just makes carbs not be as bad for you. So if you're doing lots of high intensity interval training, carbs aren't going to affect you quite as badly. It's not an excuse to eat them more, but it won't have as bad effect for gaining weight if you're doing it. It also helps you maintain your muscle through releasing human growth hormone and testosterone, unlike cardio, so which means that your metabolism doesn't slow down. So if you do lots and lots of cardio, it can slow down your metabolism. High intensity interval training isn't going to slow down your metabolism. So let's have a look at some high intensity interval training studies just to see how good it is, because again, I don't want you just to take my word from it. I want actual proof that high intensity interval training is actually a good way to lose weight and lose body fat. So in a study done to compare the fat burning benefits of traditional cardio training and high intensity intervals, two groups were assigned different training regimens. So group A performed the regular moderate intensity cardio regime, which was jogging or cycling, and they'd done this for 20 weeks. Now group B performed high intensity interval training routine for 15 weeks, less than the group A. So the results, group A, the cardio group, burned more total calories. However, group B, the high intensity interval training group, lost 9 times more fat than group A and in 5 weeks less. So yes, group A doing cardio does burn more calories, but it doesn't come from fat. It's group B doing high intensity interval training didn't burn as many calories, but they lost 9 times more fat than what group A did. So it's shown again that all these extra hours of cardio is pretty, it's not very good for losing body fat. Using high intensity interval training far more effective for losing body fat. Now another study found that after just 2 weeks of interval training, the participants doubled their endurance, or the amount of time they could ride a bicycle at a moderate intensity before exhaustion. So this one isn't necessarily geared towards fat loss, but this is just to show how good high intensity interval training is for improving your fitness as well. So group A, 8 college men and women doing interval training, were doing this for 30 second sprints and then 4 minutes rest. Group A, 8 college men and women continued doing the regular cardio training program what they had been. Now all of these participants from both the groups were regular exercisers, doing 2 to 3 cardio sessions per week of either running or cycling. So they're already trained, already doing exercise. The results, 6 out of 8 participants from group A, the high intensity interval training, double their endurance, whereas all 8 of the participants in group B who were doing the regular cardio training showed no sign of improvement. So not only is interval training great for fat loss, it's also great for improving your fitness as well. So that's another reason why you should do interval training over cardio training. Now another study performed by Jeffrey W. King of East Tennessee State University, published May 2001, showed the high intensity interval training increases rest and metabolic rate for 24 hours after the workout, which means that you're going to be burning more calories for 24 hours after that. So it's massive benefits. So you're not only burning calories during the workout, you're going to burn them for hours and hours after the workout as well. Now another study published in the Journal of Applied Physiology in 2007 by White et al. Found that in only 2 weeks of a high intensity interval training cycling protocol, it improved rest and fat oxidation by 18% in 10 sedentary men, and the mean age was 32.1 years and the BMI was 30. So this means that whilst they were resting, they were burning 18% more body fat just from doing 2 weeks of high intensity interval training. So that's great if you want to lose body fat. So we'll know that when you're walking and when you're resting, you actually burn a higher percentage of body fat. So by doing this, you burn even more body fat when you're resting. So very, very good for helping you lose weight. So just to give you an idea of the benefits, so you can actually see from yourself. So in the next photos that I show you, which of these has more muscle, which of these leaner, and which one burns more calories. So looking at here, the sprinter against the marathon runner. The sprinter is leaner and has more muscle. However, the marathon runner burns far more calories during his training. Now a marathon runner is going to be running hours, doing hours and hours of cardio, whereas the sprinter is going to work for short durations. Yet the sprinter looks better, has better muscle mass, has less body fat in his body compared to the marathon runner. Same on here as well, looking at 2 females as well, sprinter via marathon runner. Sprinter looks far, far better than a marathon runner. So the sprinters are doing the high intensity interval training, sprint rest, sprint rest, sprint rest. Marathon runners, on the other hand, lots of long, slow, steady state cardio. So you can see for yourself, look at the age, how these two age. A sprinter looks far younger than what the marathon runners do. So don't just take my word for it, the studies. Look for yourself. Next time you watch an athletics or the Olympics, have a look at the marathon runners and the sprinters. Look at the difference between them, especially in the ages. The sprinters look far, far younger than the marathon runners. So if you want to look better, have better body composition, then instead of doing cardio, go into the high intensity interval training. So now I spoke about weight training and high intensity interval training. However, what happens when you combine the two most effective fat loss methods together? So what happens when you combine high intensity interval training and weight training together? Unbelievable rapid fat loss. That's what's going to happen when you combine the two together. So you can combine the two together in a few different ways. So a good way to do it is you can do 30 to 40 minutes of weight training followed by 15 to 30 minutes of high intensity interval training. This is extremely effective for fat burning, and that's what I've give you in the gym workout program alongside this program, because it is really, really good. Now you can improve this even faster by doing superset training for your weight training, which is where you're doing one exercise straight after another, rest, do it again, and then moving on to the next. So for example, you can use upper lower body split for this, or opposing muscles is a good way to do it. And then after you've done your superset training, you go and do your high intensity interval training. Now this has been proven in countless studies, doing superset training followed by high intensity interval training to be a great way to melt fat. There's numerous internet programs out there. One of the most popular is called Turbulence Training by Craig Ballantyne, and that's basically just superset training followed by high intensity interval training, and it's really, really good, helps you burn fat rapidly. You don't have to go and buy one of his programs, because all it is two exercises back to back. Do it three or four times, do another pair of exercises back to back three or four times, and do that for three different pairs of exercises, and then go do some sprints on the treadmill. And that's all these programs are, and it works that well that even without changing the diet, he's been able to help people get really, really good results. So it does work doing that by combining them together. However, you can combine them even better at the same time in the form of metabolic resistance training, which is high intensity weight training or high intensity resistance training. So the program, the home program that you've been given to do, that if you've been doing that, that's a body weight form of metabolic resistance training, which is high intensity training using resistance. So benefits of metabolic resistance training is it increases your metabolism for 38 hours after the workout. So that's even longer than doing high intensity interval training. The reason being, because when you're using resistance, it's even harder than just doing it in a cardio way, because you're working more muscles. So it increases your metabolism, because it takes longer to recover after the workout. Now, metabolic resistance training has also been shown to burn 9 times more fat and 25% less time than cardio. It helps maintain your muscle on a low calorie diet. So if you follow a low calorie diet, do metabolic resistance training, you're going to maintain your muscle rather than lose it. Also helps you build lean muscle on a medium to higher calorie diet as well. Increases your muscle density as well. It restricts fat gain on high calorie diets. So if at any point you're cheating and your diet isn't as good, if you're doing this, it's going to restrict fat gain. That's not an excuse to go out and eat rubbish doing this kind of training. Never an excuse to eat bad foods, but it's going to restrict fat gain. It's not going to prevent it, it just means you won't put on as much. It improves your anaerobic endurance, and it improves your aerobic endurance as well. So, again, don't take my word for it. I want to show you some studies on metabolic resistance training as well. So in this study, a 30-minute circuit-style metabolic resistance training session was put to the test. The result was a 38-hour increase in metabolism, which is a massive afterburn. So if you want to look at that study, have a look at it there. So another study showed that those who added metabolic resistance training to a reduced calorie diet burned up to 44% more fat than those who dieted alone. So if you've been following this program and you've done no training, well, you could have seen 44% better results had you been doing the workouts that were done alongside it. So it is massive. If you want to see the best results possible, the metabolic resistance training is great for helping you burn more fat. Now, another study compared Slow go aerobic exercise, which is your typical cardio, compared that to metabolic resistance training, and found that the resistance group lost significantly more fat without losing any lean muscle, even at an extremely low calorie intake. So in fact, believe it or not, while the aerobic group experienced a decrease in metabolism and the lost muscle, the resistance training group actually increased the overall metabolic rate. So even though they weren't eating many calories, they actually still improved the overall metabolic rate, so they burned fat faster. So there was another study performed by Jackson Davis and his team, and it was published in the Journal of Strength and Conditioning in 2008. Now, they took two groups of people. Group A performed 60 minutes of resistance training, followed by 30 minutes of aerobic training. Now, Group B did the exact same resistance training, however, they alternated resistance training exercise with high-intensity interval sprints and a treadmill. So this is an example of weight-based interval training. So what these done, they sprinted on a treadmill, went and done some resistance training, come back to the treadmill, done some more sprints, back to the resistance training, so alternated backwards and forwards throughout. So what they found was that Group B showed a significant difference in heart rate, lower body muscle strength and lower body endurance compared to Group A. So the ones who went resistance training, interval training, resistance training, interval training showed massive improvements. And also this group also showed 82.2% increase in muscle gain as well. So the best result as well was that Group B had an almost tenfold reduction in body fat. So it's shown that metabolic resistance is great. So yes, this has shown that they've done sprint and then a resistance exercise, sprint a resistance exercise, but still going to have the carryover effect if you're just doing high intensity resistance training. So how do you do metabolic resistance training? Well, the workouts can last as little as 60 seconds and anywhere up to 45 minutes. Now, I would recommend anywhere between 15 minutes up to about 30. If you're doing longer than that, then you need to work harder rather than do longer duration. So basically, metabolic resistance training is repeated bouts of high intensity resistance training. So whereas on for the high intensity interval training on a treadmill, sprint, rest, sprint, rest, sprint, rest. With this, it's working with weights at high intensities and doing it for a repeated bout. So you do a very high intensity resistance training, rest, very high intensity interval resistance training, then rest. So it's repeated bouts of high intensity resistance training. So the idea is to work as hard as you possibly can using weights. Now you can do this using body weight exercises like I've given you your at home program, and this is done at high intensity, such as time bounce of the Tabata training, 20 seconds work, 10 seconds rest, 20 seconds work, 10 seconds rest. Another 3-minute round protocol where you do 6 exercises back to back for 3 minutes, have a minute rest and do it again. Now you can do it with weights, you don't have to do this with body weights. You could pick exercises, so for example you could do deadlifts and squats for a Tabata training but using heavy weights during it, or you could pick 6 weight training exercises, do each one for 30 seconds and then rest at the end of the minute. So you can do it this way as well, it doesn't have to be body weight. So another way to do metabolic resistance training is time circuits. For example, give yourself 20 minutes and try and do as many rounds of a circuit in that time. So you could pick 5 exercises, do all 5 exercises back to back, have a minute rest, do all 5 sets, 5 exercises back to back, have another minute rest, and see how many you can get in the set time frame. Or if you want to make it even more effective, pick 5 or 6 exercises, do them all and keep going through them the 20 minutes, seeing how many you can get in, but just rest when you needed, rather than taking set rest periods, rest when you need to. But the most important thing when you're doing this, when you're doing metabolic resistance training with weight, is that it's got to be with a heavy weight. You don't want to be using light weights. That turns it more into a body pump kind of class. It's got to be heavy weights that are going to make you feel. So the normal weights that you'll be using in the gym for your normal weight training workouts are the exercise, or the weights you want to be using for metabolic resistance training as well. So it's basically heavy weights done at high intensity and then rest when you're doing it. So Another way you can do it, which is very hard to do in a busy gym, is high intensity interval training followed by a set of weights. So you could do a sprint on the treadmill followed by a bench press, a sprint on the treadmill followed by some deadlifts, but that's very hard to do in a busy gym. So the better way to do it in a gym is just get the weight and just use high intensity weight training. But if you can't, if you're in a quieter gym or you've got somewhere you can do it at home, you can sprint, do some weights, sprint, do some weights. But remember, the most important thing is to lift heavy weights. If you're doing it with light weight, it's not going to be effective. Also, strongman style metabolic training, such as tire flipping, prowlers, that kind of training as well, strongman kind training, is also good. It gives you a metabolic effect, and it's with heavy weights, so it's going to help you burn fat rapidly. So now, whatever method you choose to train, ideally, these are the best methods to use: weight training, high intensity interval training, or metabolic resistance training. But if you choose anything else, just remember the most important thing is the principle of exercise. You must overload your body progressively. If you do this, you're guaranteed results. So you've got to challenge yourself to lift more, move faster, last longer, or do more total work than you've done before. So you've got to keep improving. If you keep doing the same thing you've always done, then your body's just going to get used to it and you're not going to see results. So you must be progressively overloading the body with exercise. Now, this is just a general look into weight training, high intensity and metabolic resistance training. So if you want to look into it more, you can ask me in the Facebook group. In the future, I will be creating more programs that you can do for this. So keep an eye out for that in the Facebook group as well. But there's so much to do about it that's very hard to explain within just an hour or so talking about it. So if you do want to know more about it, just ask in the Facebook group and I can give you some more advice and on programs that you can do following this. So now we've been speaking about the exercise, I want to go over, do a general recap of the 8 weeks that we've went through so far. So go over the most important points that we've learned from the 8 weeks. By doing this, I know if I talk about it once and you hear about it once, then yes, you know about it then, but you soon forget about it, because it is a lot to take in over the 8 weeks. So if we're doing 8 week recap, you're more likely to carry on these things into the future after the program is finished. So if there's anything that I really want you to remember from this 8 week program, is the principles of fat loss. Remember, the principle of nutrition, principle of exercise, and the principle of motivation. These are the main three things I want to remember. If you're not seeing results, then it's because you're not following these principles. So first off, the principle of nutrition, which is eating whole natural foods which haven't been processed or had any chemicals added to them, and they should preferably be organic. Now, if you're not seeing results through your diet, this is the first place to look. Are you eating natural foods? Now, if you're eating natural foods, you should be seeing results and maintaining your results. So any point in the future, if you see that you're not seeing results, make sure, before you look at any methods of calorie cycling or anything like that, are you following this principle of nutrition? Are you eating whole natural foods that haven't had any chemicals added to them? And if you're doing this, you are following this principle of nutrition, you're going to maintain your results and you're going to keep seeing results as well. Next one, principle of exercise. We've just spoke about this, but it's progressive overload. Make sure you're continuously overloading your body. Now, if you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting the same results you've always got. So you must keep progressing all the time. You've got to challenge yourself to lift more, move faster, last longer, or do more total work. If you do this, you're guaranteed results as well. So if you're not seeing results from exercise, whether that be fat loss, or if you decide to go into a muscle building program, if you're not seeing results, check, are you overloading the body? If you're not, you're not going to see results. So make sure, whatever exercise you do, you're always following this principle. Principle of motivation is know what you want, know why you want it, and be prepared to pay the price. If you don't know what you want, why you want it, then you will never get it. So if you're not seeing results, make sure that you know what you want, why you want it, and be prepared to pay the price. This is the main reason why people don't see results, is because they don't set themselves goals, so they've got nothing to aim for. Just like if you're playing darts, if there's no dartboard there, how can you hit it? You need to have a goal, you need to have something to work towards. So the process to go through to help with your motivation is you must decide on the goal. You must value the outcome. You must be prepared to pay the price. The goal must be SMART, so specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time frame. You must think about your goal regularly. You must be in love with your goal, and you must believe you can achieve it. Now, this, yes, can be for your fitness goals, but this can be used for any goal you want in life. It can be used to help you set up a business. If you want to set up your own business, set a goal of doing it. Make sure you value it, you're prepared to put in the work and do it. Make sure the goal is specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time thing. You must think about it regularly as well. You must be in love, and you must believe you can achieve it. So it can be used for other areas of your life as well. Don't just set goals just for your fitness. Take it, carry it over into other areas of your life as well. Now, these principles always work as long as you work with the principles. So if at any point in the future you're not seeing the results you want, always look at these principles first. Are you following the principle of nutrition? Are you following the principle of exercise? Are you following the principle of motivation? If you're not following all these principles, then you're not going to see the results that you're after. So before you look into changing your exercise method or changing your nutrition or anything, make sure you're following these principles. It's the most important thing. There's one thing you remember from this program. It is these three principles. If you follow these three principles, then you're gonna see amazing results if you're trying to lose weight, and you're gonna maintain your results as well. But make sure you follow these principles. So it's also important, in order to see results, not just your nutrition, not just your exercise, not just motivation, but you've got other lifestyle factors as well. And the first one is sleep. Now, your sleep is essential for optimal weight loss results, but it's also very important for optimal health as well. So sleep is essential. Lack of sleep disrupts your hormones, it increases hunger and cravings, it interferes with your ability to metabolize carbs, and increases your stress levels as well. Sleep acts as a hormone reset, so whilst you're sleeping, your hormones reset overnight as well. So it's very important to be asleep between 10 and 6 a.m. Reason being, 10 till 2 your body recovers, 2 till 6 your mind recovers, and this is your circadian rhythm, which has developed over thousands of years. So it's very important to be asleep between these hours to allow your body to feel better, allow all your hormones to reset. Ideally, be asleep by 10 o'clock 5 nights of the week, and aim for 8 hours as well. Just helps your body recover. And if you're doing this, if you're sleeping well, then it's going to help massively with your diet, your motivation, and your exercise as well. If you're not getting the sleep, going to make it harder to stick to a diet. It's going to be harder to exercise because you're going to be more tired. You're not going to have as much energy. Now, when you are asleep, in the room must be pitch black in order to release melatonin to help you recover properly. To help you sleep better, stop watching TV before you go to bed. Instead, read a book. Don't do anything stimulating just before bed. Turn the lights down a few hours before bed. Avoid lights above your head as well, especially if you're going to have lights on, have them a bit lower down. Have lamps on or candles on instead of anything above your head, because your body thinks that's like the sun and it just keeps you awake. Also, you can do deep breathing exercises before you go to sleep, or meditate, and also having sex as well. That'll help you fall asleep. Reducing stress, very, very important for overall health as well, not just weight loss. Remember, cortisol breaks down muscle and also leads to fat storage around your stomach. So make sure you reduce stress. Stress disrupts your other hormones as well, mainly insulin and thyroid, so it slows down your metabolism. It can lead to diabetes, so it's very, very important to reduce stress. So stress reduction techniques include exercise, yoga, tai chi, qigong, sex, massage, visualization, emotional freedom technique, hypnosis, music, deep breathing, meditation, balancing work and recreation, and even just getting rid of the stress as well. So it's very, very important for the good of your health to reduce stress. So also, we've learned in the program about detoxing and getting lots of nutrients into the body, and how they're essential for weight loss. If you don't detox, you don't get lots of nutrients in your body, your body's not going to work efficiently. It's going to be poisoned. It's going to have lots of poisons in your body. It's going to lead to storing fat in water to protect yourself, which is why you need to detox. If you're not getting lots of vitamins and minerals and nutrients in your body, your body's not going to be getting what it needs to work efficiently. It's going to begin to break down. It's going to store fat. So if you want to live a long and happy life, stop putting chemicals into your body which are bad for you and eat lots of vitamins, minerals and nutrients. This means cut out all the processed foods, eating only fresh, whole natural organic foods, organic where possible but always fresh and natural. Eat lots of fibre vegetables. Vary the foods you eat and keep varying them all the time. Never get stuck in the rut of eating the same foods. Always vary the foods that you eat. And drink 3 liters of water per day. Just allows you to flush out all the toxins in your body as well. So make sure you're doing all these. So this is the principle of nutrition. Doing this, but it helps you detox. Helps get all the vitamins and minerals in your body. So you've got a healthy body that you deserve. You feel better, you're more motivated, you're more energetic. And then it makes it easier to stick to your results by doing this as well. So as well as detoxing and eating lots of vegetables to balance, get lots of vitamins and minerals into your body. You've also got to balance your blood sugar and balance your hormones as well. This is very important to be able to maintain a diet and maintain your results. If your blood sugar is going up and down, you've got blood sugar fluctuations, you're going to have peaks and crashes in energy, and you're going to want to cheat to get that energy and keep you going throughout the day. Also, your hormones are very important to maintain them balanced. If your hormones are out of balance, it's going to affect your hunger, energy and craving, so it'll make it a lot harder to stick to the diet. So to help balance your blood sugar and hormones, eat a diet high in protein and good fats with lots of high fiber vegetables, which are your low carb ones, and eat the amount of starch for your metabolic type as well. So that's a good way, that's a very good start of balancing your blood sugar and your hormones. Always eat protein at every meal and snack you have. Never eat carbs and fat alone, especially carbs and fat together, because if you do that, it's just going to dramatically help you gain fat, and that's what we don't want. Also use preemptive eating, which is eat before you get hungry. So add this in to your lifestyle, the preemptive eating. Now, after this program, some people might find it easier to stick to 2 meals per day, or some people might find it easier to stick to 5 to 6. Find what works for you so you can manage it long term. So don't pick a method that's going to massively impact your life and have negative effects. It's going to be too hard. Use a method that fits in with your lifestyle, because then it'll be a lot easier to stick to long term. If you're really, really busy and you haven't got time to cook, it's going to be harder for you to do 5 to 6 meals. Then use 3 or 4 or 2 or 3 meals per day, and then of good foods, and that's much, much better than having to cheat on the go and stuff like that as well. Also, you've got to want to balance your hunger, energy and cravings. Make sure they're balanced. If your hunger, energy and cravings are balanced, remember your hormones aren't balanced, so make sure they are. If not, change the foods you're eating, change the amount of foods you're eating, work out what works for your body. Always remember that your metabolism changes with age, menopause, puberty, pregnancy, illness, stress level, level of activity as well, any medications, even the temperature. So what works for you at one moment might not work for you at another. So make sure you listen to your body and adapt your diet so it works for you. You've always got to be changing it as well. Everyone is different, so find out what works for you, and if you make any mistakes, just learn from them. It's not the end of the world if you make a mistake. Just adapt to it, change, then you'll know what you're doing wrong. You might be not eating enough meals, or you might not be eating enough protein at your meal. There's something that you're doing wrong that you need to change to it. Don't just give up if you do make a mistake. So remember, the food you eat affects everything. So whatever you put into your body affects your brain and it affects your mind. So just make sure you know this, that even that exercise you do as well, the exercise you do affects your brain and this affects your mind. So make sure you always remember, whatever you do with your body will have a carryover effect. So 5 steps that end emotional eating. So went through these in the later seminar. So if you find that in the future that you're emotional eating, come back to this and use these 5 steps. So first off, become aware of your emotional eating behavior patterns. Step 2, watch out for the thoughts, emotions, events and situations that trigger those behavior patterns. Intercept them when they happen. Then replace the old emotional eating behavior with more constructive alternatives or coping mechanisms, such as exercising instead of eating as well. So make sure you replace them, because remember, you want to get a feeling. That's why you end up emotionally eating, but you want to get a feeling from a different way. Exercise is by far the best method to put in instead of eating. And establish new beliefs as well. Whatever you believe about food is how you're going to act. So change your beliefs about food. If you've been filling in the life coaching tasks, well, have been working along your beliefs along the way. So by now it should be getting hardwired. So you're going to follow healthy eating for the long term. It's very important to change your beliefs because you can only act with what your beliefs are. So always remember, most important thing is preparation is key. If you don't prepare, then you're basically going to fall off track dead easily. So that's the main reason why people fall off track, is lack of preparation. So every week, sit down, plan out your meals in advance for the 7 days. Do this every single week. You should have done it every single day, every single week throughout the 8 weeks. I want you to carry that on for the rest of your life, because if you're not preparing, then you're going to end up cheating on the go. If you cheat on the go, then you're going to start feeling a bit rubbish and you're not going to be thinking good, and then you'll end up cheating more often. But if you plan your meals in advance every single week, then there's no excuse for cheating on your diet, because you're prepared. You've got good foods with you. Now, if you want to prepare a cheat meal in your diet, then prepare it in your diet and work around that. So if you want to do a fast the next day or eat lower carb the next day, then you can. But if it's not prepared, then you're just going to end up falling off track. So always, always prepare. Remember, these 8 protocols that we've been through all throughout these weeks as well, prepare them. So if you know you're going to cheat, then the next day you might want to fast, or you might want to eat lower carb, or you might want to follow the ketosis protocol afterwards. But plan it. Don't just go with whatever you feel like eating or whatever. You must plan your meals in advance for the rest of your life, and it'll ensure that you maintain your results. Also, keep making a shopping list every week, so you only buy the foods on your shopping list. Keep shopping 2 to 3 times per week so your food is fresh. Make sure you buy more than enough food as well, so you never run out of food. And always keep pre-cooking and preparing your food that you can eat on the go as well. It's very important to keep preparing your meals in advance, because if you don't, then there'll be a time where you're hungry, you don't have food ready. So keep preparing them in advance. It just makes it far easier to stick to the program. Cook more than one meal at a time as well. Using a slow cooker is great. If you finish work late, whack your stuff in the slow cooker, it'll be ready when you get in. Keep taking your foods with you in Tupperware containers as well. And just remember the 7 P's of preparation. Proper planning and preparation prevents piss poor performance, and that is true. If you want to keep seeing good results, keep maintaining results, you have to keep preparing. So I've said it time and time again throughout, you're probably sick of me saying prepare, prepare, prepare. But you have to do it. It's essential if you want to maintain your results. Essential if you want to keep seeing results. Keep track as well. So to help keep you on track after this program, keep filling in the Empower Journal. Fill it in daily. It just helps keep you accountable. Especially now, because you haven't got this 8-week program with you. You haven't got these videos to watch. So keeping that Empower Journal is going to help keep you on track. At least use it for the next month, because if you keep doing it, it's going to become into a habit of eating healthy, and you're going to hold yourself accountable, and you're going to maintain your results. If you don't prepare, you don't keep track of your diet, then eventually you're going to go back to your old habits. But for at least the first month, keep track of your diet and keep filling them Empower Journals. Remember, eating out, choices versus decisions. Don't let the decisions be made for you. Choose the healthiest place, choose the healthiest meal, and don't be afraid to ask for something not on the menu. Order extra vegetables, and don't be afraid to leave certain foods. So during the 8 weeks, I hope you haven't ate out too much, but I know you can't not eat out for the rest of your life. So if you are eating out, make good decisions. For example, if you do end up in a place like McDonald's and there's no other option that you do when you are there, then just eat the meat and take the bread off. So you can do things like that as well when you're eating out, so you don't always have to have the meal as it comes. You can take bits away and just eat the healthy parts of it. There's nothing wrong whatsoever in doing that. Another important thing to remember is your diet, your exercise. You need to keep practicing it, it's like learning an instrument. You're never going to be a master. So even these people with amazing bodies, they're always learning about the body, about exercise, about nutrition, about motivation as well. So success comes from the pursuit of mastery. So you want to keep practicing good nutrition as well. Remember, failures are important because it helps you reevaluate and adjust and improve. If you don't have any failures, then you're not going to learn. So if you do fail, you do cheat on your diet, just learn from it. Learn from your mistakes, because some of the biggest successes often come from the biggest failures. If you hadn't failed in the past, then you wouldn't be on this program, then you wouldn't have seen the massive success now. So all them failures you've had in the past were for a reason, that you could learn from this program. And now, in the future, because you're not going to be 100% healthy for the, well, eat 100% for the rest of your life, you're always going to have little cheats and stuff, but learn from it, learn why you do it, and try and plan cheats into your diet rather than cheating as you go. So remember, if you do cheat or you do eat unhealthy, it's very important to consciously start eating good again as soon as you can, so it doesn't start off in a downward spiral. So if you eat bad, you'll think bad, because it'll release lots of bad brain chemicals and you'll start thinking bad. You won't want to exercise, you won't want to eat well. So before that downward spiral sets in, eat good foods so you get lots of good brain chemicals, you start thinking good again. So it's very, very important to consciously do it. Because even if you plan a cheat meal, so if you plan it, you're still going to think a bit bad afterwards. So very, very important, eat good foods as soon as you can after cheating. But please, if you do something wrong, don't feel guilty. Don't just fall off eating healthy and don't be like, oh, I feel fat now, and then that's the end of it. Because that's what's happened to you in the past. That's why you're here today, because you follow a diet, you've seen good results, and all of a sudden, all this cheating has come back in, and then you end up gaining the weight. But if you have one bad meal, it doesn't matter at all. Just get back on with the eating healthy and you'll carry on maintaining your results. So what we're doing for week 8, what's the last week's protocol? Well, we're going to be intermittent fasting again, however this time for 36 hours, but this week we're only going to be eating 2 meals per day for your metabolic burning type. So remember I was speaking about last week how you don't really need the 5 to 6 meals per day because that doesn't work with your body. Yes, that works with the environment around us, but eating less actually is what our body is designed for. So this week we're just going to be eating 2 meals per day for your metabolic burning time and doing a 36 hour fast as well. So when you're eating your 2 meals per day for your burner type, you may have your branched chain amino acids for snacks. You can have anywhere between 1 and 4 of these per day. Also, if you want to have cocoa, you can have your cocoa and have herbal teas in there. It's going to take a little bit getting used to 2 meals per day. However, you will feel better at the end of the week. And it's just to give you another example of eating less, because we've been eating lots throughout the whole of the program, eating 5 to 6 meals per day. So I want you to try eating 2 meals per day, because this might fit in better with your lifestyle. So we'll want to try it before the end of the program as well. So when you're doing your fasting, pick a day where you start your 36 hour fast. Now it should be 8 o'clock till not 8 a.m. the next day, 8 a.m. the day after. So that's the best time to do it. Try not to do it from the morning till all through the next day till the next night. That's harder to do. It's much easier to do 8 o'clock till not 8 o'clock the next day, the day after. After all, we've done a 24 hour fast last week. The only difference is that you're actually going to be sleeping during the extra hours. So to be honest, it's not much harder than the 24 hour fast, because the rest of the time you're going to be spent sleeping. So before you do the 36 hour fast, you should have your cheat meal. Now your cheat meal this week must be before the 36 hour fast. You can't do it any other time. It must be before the 36 hour fast. Remember, this will boost your leptin levels to allow you to lose even more weight during that fast. The day you come off the fast, you're still eating 2 meals per day. During the fast as well, you may have branched chain amino acids at the times you would usually eat. You may have your herbal tea and your coke. No, you can't have coke on the fast days, but you can have your herbal tea and you can have your branched chain amino acids. Now, remember, during the fast, drink more water, have 4 to 5 litres as well, and exercise as much as possible during the fast. It'll stop you from feeling hungry, and also it'll increase the fat burning as well by exercising throughout. So the days you are eating your two meals per day, which is all we. It's good to not have your first meal till about midday. So that's have your first meal about at midday, and your second meal around 7-8 o'clock in the evening. That's how you should eat your meals when you're doing two meals per day. Except on the day when you're coming off your 36-hour fast, eat at 8 a.m. and then maybe eat about 6 p.m., 7 p.m. on the evening, the day you come off the fast. But the rest of the week, when you're eating your two meals per day, have your first meal about midday, anywhere between 11 and 1, second meal anywhere between 6 and 8 o'clock. And that's how your body works really well. Now, reason being that in the mornings, cortisol rises to help get you out of bed, give you the energy to get you through the day, and then around the midday, it starts to drop. So if you eat before midday, it actually makes your cortisol come down even faster. So to work with your natural cortisol level, to work with your natural hormone levels, you shouldn't eat till around about midday. So that's why we're doing it this week, is to work with your body rather than the rest of the weeks when we've been eating more meals, you've been working with the environment. So to make sure you're not cheating and to help balance your blood sugar levels as well. But now we're working with your physiology, how your body's designed to work. It's designed to eat less, so that's what we're going to do. Eat at midday and then have your second meal at around 8 o'clock in the evening. So don't forget, eat protein at every meal still. Eat fresh, whole, natural, organic foods. Drink 3.5 liters of pure water per day. Vary the foods you eat still. Keep preparing your meals in advance. Keep filling in that 7-day meal planner. Keep filling in the Empower Journal. Be asleep by 10 o'clock 5 nights of the week and try and be asleep for 8 hours and reduce stress as well. So don't forget to do any of these things. So what's next after the 8 weeks is up? Well, I want you to maintain your results. So after this program is finished, come back on the website, look into the maintenance section, and that'll help you maintain your results. However, I'm just going to quickly explain a good way to do it. Now, one of the best ways I think of doing it is eating fresh, whole, natural foods for most of the meals that you have. And if you want to fast as well, you can do that once a week as well. But as also, stick as closely as possible for your metabolic burning type. So, always eating fresh, whole, natural foods all the time. Now, on top of this, you can have 1 to 4 cheat meals per week. So, plan these into your diet. Now, I find if people just add in little cheats here and there, they end up falling back to the old habits. So, plan them in and only have them. So, for example, if someone says, I'll have a coffee in the morning, and then they might have a bit of chocolate with a meal, before you know it, every single meal they're having something they shouldn't have in the back of the old habits. So it's far, far better to have a cheat meal and the rest of the time eat 100% healthy. So start off for a few weeks, have one cheat meal a week. So eat natural foods the rest of the time, one cheat meal per week when you have whatever you want. If you're not gaining weight after a couple of weeks, add in another cheat meal. So have two cheat meals a week, but the rest of the time eat 100% healthy. After that, if you're still not gaining any weight and you're still maintaining your weight, add in a third cheat meal. Eat 100% healthy the rest of the time. The maximum you should have is 4 cheat meals, but make sure you're not gaining weight. If you start gaining weight, then take a cheat meal out until you can maintain your weight. So that's the best and most effective way I've found for maintaining your results. Because if you just add in little cheats here and there, and you start, if you have a little cheat at one meal and then you won't be thinking as good, you'll have another cheat. Before you know it, you're not feeling as healthy, you're not feeling as energetic, and you've went back to your old habits. But if you're eating healthy 100% of the time, but having 1 to 4 cheat meals per week, you're far, far more likely to maintain your results. Now, a good thing to do as well, if you cheat and it's not planned, do a fast the next day afterwards. It just helps you get away from that idea of cheating, because if you do cheat, who wants to go 24 hours without food? No one. So if you do cheat on your diet, then a good way to punish yourself for it, kind of, so to speak, is do a 24 hour fast the next day. But if you do cheat and it's not planned, you don't want to punish yourself for a 24 hour fast, don't feel bad and don't give up. Just get back into the eating healthy as soon as you can. Also, to maintain your results, eat the amount of meals that fits in with your lifestyle. So we've tried 5 to 6 meals per day. If that fits in with your lifestyle, and that helps you maintain your weight, carry on doing that. However, if this week, the last week, week 8 works good for you, eating the 2 meals per day, and that fits in with your lifestyle, do that. Pick the amount of meals which works for you. Now, the most important thing is eating the good, fresh, whole, natural foods. It's not the amount of meals you eat. The amount of meals you eat is just what fits in with your lifestyle and what works best for you. But you must always follow the principle of nutrition, eating the fresh, whole, natural foods. Whatever amount of meals you eat, the amount of meals is just what makes it easy for you to stick to. So if you do have weight to lose at the end of this program, because some people are going to have more weight to lose, yes, you've lost a tremendous amount of weight, but you might have more weight to lose. So if that is the case, go back through this 8-week program again, go straight back to week 1 and go through it again for another 8 weeks, and you will lose another tremendous amount of weight during another 8 weeks as well. And that would be a great way to do it. Watch the videos as well, because then you're going to learn everything, you're going to take more in, there's going to be more chance of it taking in for the long term if you watch the videos. Don't just go through the plan, actually watch the videos again each week. Another thing to do if you want to lose weight, if you know some weeks of this program work better for you than others, then you could just pick them weeks and do the weeks that are most effective as well. So that's another good way to do it. The other way is you can buy the 30-day final phase meltdown plan, which is going to take your results to the next level. We use carb cycling in this, with lower carb, higher carb days, completely trick your metabolism, trick your hormones to help you lose weight very, very fast, and it's got a very, very good weight training program to go alongside that. So you really will, 30 days, get shredded in that 30 days using the final phase meltdown. It's a very, very good program. It is intensive, but if you want to see the best results and get that shredded, ripped body, then go for the final phase meltdown. Otherwise, if you just want to keep losing weight, go through the 8-week program again, or just stick to using the weeks that works best for you. So that's it for the 8-week Lose Weight Fast Academy. I hope you've learned lots over the 8 weeks, and I really do hope this is the last diet you're ever going to need, because after all, I've taught you 8 great weight loss methods, so you can use any of them in the future to lose weight if you need to. If you come back in here, go on the maintenance part of the website, that'll teach you how to maintain your results. Remember, if you are maintaining your results, just eat whatever meals works for you. Have between 1 and 4 cheat meals per week, and the rest of the time, eat 100% healthy. If you start adding in bad foods here and there, you're going to go back. So 100% healthy, and then have between 1 and 4 cheat meals per week, and eat the amount of meals that fits in with your lifestyle. If eating 5 to 6 meals per day works for you, do that. If that's too hard and it's too much effort, have less. The amount of meals you have doesn't matter. It's the making sure you're eating good foods all the time. That's what's going to help you maintain your results. Remember, take 6 months to create a new set weight and a new baseline weight. So maintain those results. Really focus and concentrate on it for the next 6 months to maintain it. Get into a habit of eating healthy, and you will maintain the results for the rest of your life. Now, I hope end of this 8 weeks, you're really, really happy with your results. Now, remember, if you want, I really hope they do, is send me your before and after photos as well. You've seen someone's before and after photos, and that helped inspire you to do this program. Now, if you send them in, it's going to help someone else to lose weight as well. Because as soon as someone else sees your before and after photos, see how well you've done, they're going to be inspired to lose weight as well. So someone has helped you get on this program, so you help someone else. So I'd really appreciate if you do send them in, allow me to use them on the website. If you want to send in a story about how we've helped you as well, that's even better. And I will put that onto the Hall of Fame on the website as well. Because after all, you've worked really, really hard. I'm proud of you for doing it. You should be proud of yourself. You'll show off them results, and you'll help other people as well. So that's it, everything for the 8-week Lose Weight Fast Academy. If you ever need any help from me in the future, stay in the Facebook group, and you can ask me questions in the future. I still want to help you as well, and you can still see even better results. If you want to buy me other program, the Final Phase Meltdown, you can. But make sure you maintain results, and I really hope this is the last diet and program that you ever need, and that from now on you live a really happy life at your ideal weight.